church. We're pointing. That's at the end of the message. We're doing communion a little different today. Don't get weirded out on me. We're going to do it at the end of my message. Once I get into my message, you'll see why. If I could get the light on for our artists, that would be awesome. So children 3 years of age to fifth grade have classes available over in the East Wing. So parents, if you could take them out the back door, just of the auditorium, go to the left out in the hallway. Also, if you want them to join you at the end of service for communion, I'll give you that announcement and you can go over to class, get them and bring them back. You're welcome to do that. So ages 3 to 5th grade. And then the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore. If you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like to take them there, you're welcome to do that also. You can drop them off or sit with them. Or, as always, they're welcome to sit right here in our service and enjoy and illustrate my sermon. I often get pictures at the end of my message that kids have illustrated a story or something I was talking about during the message, and it's always pretty awesome to see what God's speaking to or showing them as I speak. So it's very cool. Fun. That's not the right message. There's the right message. It's like those notes don't look right. It was a different day. So I want to talk about communion today a little bit. Communion, what we have set up here, is a representation of what we should be doing daily on our own time alone. So we like to take communion corporately because it reminds us of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, the cracker and the grape juice. It's a remembrance of Christ, his blood, his body, and what that was given for us, and what that means to us. So if we jump into the Word of God in Luke chapter 22, we'll see what Jesus says about it as he's speaking to his disciples. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 through 20. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So Christ is telling his disciples at this point, "Do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember what I've done. Remember why I came. Remember what I died for. Remember why I rose again. Remember, remember, remember." So what do you remember? Because each and every day we should be in communion with the Lord and remembering what he's done for us, because life isn't always pretty and fluffy. Sometimes it's ugly and messy, and we need to remember Jesus hasn't lost a battle, as we sang in that song earlier. Jesus has not lost a battle. So picking up at verse 20, "In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" His blood poured out for us. Our access to the Father, our access to heaven, is through Jesus Christ and him alone. He came, he made the way, he paid the price that I could never pay. He paid it for me, paid in full. But I have to choose to serve him. I have to choose to love him. So as we think about remembering Jesus, what are we remembering? Why was his body bruised? Why was it punished? Why was his blood poured out? If we jump into Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was pierced for our transgressions." Okay, that was because of what we did. He took that punishment upon himself. "He was crushed for our iniquities." Again, our punishment he's taking upon himself. "The punishment that brought us peace was on him." I know life's not always peaceful, but when it is peaceful, know that you're experiencing peace because of what Christ did for you. We get to experience and enjoy that. Have you ever had a really stressful situation where life wasn't going real great and this just supernatural peace came in and you're like, "I should not feel this great, but I feel amazing"? If you haven't experienced that yet, I hope you do one day, because it's awesome. When the peace of the Lord surpasses your carnal understanding of what's going on, it is awesome. And Christ took that punishment so we could have that peace. And by His wounds, we are healed. Remember. Why did Christ go to the cross? What was His body and His blood a sacrifice for? For my sins to be forgiven, that I may be seen as righteous or holy before the Lord God Almighty. That my sins may be forgiven. It was a payment for all of my wrongdoings. And His stripes bring me healing. His punishment brings me peace. Remember. I've titled today's message, Daily Pursuit. You shouldn't just be in pursuit of your Lord and Savior on Sunday morning or for 2 hours a day. But we should be in pursuit of our Lord and Savior all day, every day. And usually He actually tells me I only work 20 minutes a week. So John chapter 6, verse 32. I'm going to read 32 through 40. So Jesus is speaking with His disciples here, talking about being the bread of life. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven." So if we stop and pause there and think, sometimes when good things happen to us, we take credit ourselves or we'll accredit other people for it. Like they accredited Moses for bringing the manna. But really it's God who brings us good gifts and good things. So we need to stop and remember, who is the good gift giver? Who is the giver of life? Who is the giver of the air that I breathe? But it's God and God alone. So as we stop and remember, we should give praise and honor to God because of who He is. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away." That's a pretty awesome promise right there, isn't it? Whoever comes to me I will never drive away. Sometimes the devil would like to trick or deceive us and make us think through our shame and our guilt that we can't come to Jesus. As you take communion today, remember, Jesus says, "You can always come to me and I won't drive you away. You're always welcome. It's always available. Come to me." He's always inviting us into His presence, into His love, into His mercy, into His grace, into His peace, into His mercy. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall not lose none of all those He has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." That's a pretty amazing promise, isn't it? God's will is that all mankind would enter into the kingdom of heaven for eternity. That we would all experience salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and experience life everlasting after we pass from this earth. That's His will for us. Sometimes we need to remember that each and every day of our lives. When we're in the daily pursuit of Jesus Christ, we're living out in the trenches of life. Right? Does anybody know that life gets ugly? Life gets messy. Life gets real. Right? It gets really real some days. So I just came out of the mountains from an elk hunt. And we were in pursuit of an elk, the very elusive mountain elk. You can drive around town here and see them all over, but we saw one elk all week. Okay? So day one, 3:45 a.m., wake-up time. Sometimes that's enough life to get in our way to make us stop pursuing God. Right? Like for some people, that's enough of a hiccup. Like, I don't really want to hunt elk if we have to get up at 3:45. Let's do the 9 o'clock shift or the 10 o'clock shift. Right? So day one, we're up at 3:45, getting breakfast together, getting horses ready to go out. About 5 a.m., thunder starts. About 5:05 a.m., rain starts. And it's getting nasty outside. So now we call it a day, right? No. It's going to get nasty out there. It's going to get real. But we're in pursuit of something. So we go out in the rain and we get drenched and soaked. And we hunt all day. Not a sound, not a track, not a sighting. The brush didn't get any drier all day long, except for maybe when I walked through because I took all its water with me. This is real life when we're in pursuit of our Creator, our Lord and Savior. You're going to have some 3:45 a.m. wake-ups that throw you off guard. You're going to have some downpour mornings that I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to pull the covers over my head. Or, I don't want to spend time in your word today, Lord. Or, I don't want to spend time in prayer with you today, Lord. Because it's too hard. You don't know what my day's like today. So we hiked several miles through the rain that day. Lots of vertical elevation up and down. We get back to camp that evening. And of course, that was way too much effort to chase an elk, right? No. We're just getting warmed up. But we should put in that kind of effort when we're pursuing God. Because life has a lot of stumbling blocks. Life has a lot of blindsides. Whoa, didn't see that coming. Life has a lot of hiccups. We've got to learn to get through them in our daily pursuit of our Lord and Savior, of our Creator. So we go out the next day, and it's foggy and rainy again. And we call in an elk, but it's so foggy we can't see 20 yards. And he gets really close to us, so we can hear him, but we can't see him. And eventually, the wind shifts and he blows out of there. Then we go a little further, go to another place and hear one bugling and we talk to him for a while. He doesn't want anything to do with us. Every time we move closer, he moves further. And it goes on like this for about 3.5-4 hours. Of course, we're hiking and tired and wet. But he doesn't want to say hello. So we give up pursuit, right? This is too hard. Why would we pursue an animal in the mountains so fervently and then not pursue our God? Put something in there that you pursue. The best yard sale deal. The best Facebook purchase. The best sale at your favorite store. What gobbles up your time? What do you pursue passionately? And come hell or high water, I'm getting there. I'm not giving up. Because we should be in daily pursuit of our Lord and Savior to that degree. It's like, I don't care what happens. It's like a bunch of you were out setting up your elk camps today. Right? There's a bunch of us missing today. What are they pursuing? Perhaps they're pursuing God. Perhaps they're not. I don't know. But God knows. So you don't have to come to this building to pursue Him. But our heart's intent should be to pursue, because God has so much available for us. And the more we experience, the more that we know. So I can listen to these elk in the woods and pretty much tell what they're doing or what they want to do, whether they're going to be engaging or not engaging. And my guest is looking at me like, how do you know that? It's like, well, that one's coming. And then here it is, it shows up. Or I hear other ones say, he's not interested. He's going to talk to us, but if we get close, he's going to run. But I've spent time pursuing, so I know and understand them. If we take time to pursue our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we get to know and understand Him. And then we learn that He's pursuing us. He will not leave us. He will not push us away. But He's always in pursuit of a relationship with you and I. He wants that one-on-one time. He wants to see you face-to-face. He wants to pour into you. John's Sunday school class was great this morning. Our spiritual awareness. How sensitive are you to the Spirit? How sensitive are you to spiritual things? Some of us blow through life and don't even notice it. But some of us go places and go, wow, do you feel the Spirit that's here? It can be a good one or a bad one. But if we'll take that time to get to know, if we'll take that time to daily pursue our Lord and Savior. I really wanted to talk about David today, King David. Because he was a man that pursued God with all of his heart. He failed time and time again. His friends pursued him for his life time and time again. He had to run and hide in caves like a wild dog time and time again. But no matter what circumstance came against him, he didn't give up and say, oh, God hates me, he doesn't love me. He says, no, my God's still good. My God's still awesome. He even went and committed adultery with a man's wife. He ended up killing her husband or having him killed in battle. But he didn't give up and say, oh, I'm unworthy. I can't seek God anymore. Yes, he had to repent. And yes, he had to pay for his sins. But yes, he was still in pursuit of the Lord God Almighty. Daily pursuing our Creator. Daily saying, I want more of you. Teach me how to love more deeply. Teach me how to give more generously. Teach me how to help those in need, how to encourage. That's what our daily pursuit with our Lord and Savior does. It gets our heart in tune with His heart. And once we begin to understand what He wants for His people, it's a lot easier to go and serve them and meet their needs. But you've got to be in daily pursuit. Showing up on Sunday morning's not enough. And when life circumstances come against you, know that your Lord and Savior is in pursuit of you. It doesn't matter what's going on around out here, because right here is good. And even if everything's taken away, just like Job, even if everything's taken away, I know that I'm still good with my God. And we can lose everything and still experience the love, the joy, and peace of our Lord and Savior, because He's amazing. And He has good intentions for us. And everything on this earth is just temporary. Everything is temporary. But when we get to heaven, it's permanent. It's eternal. And we should be living, pursuing our Lord and Savior with that eternal mindset of when I get to heaven. When I get to heaven. Everything else here is just stuff. But when I get to heaven, it's permanent. So if you want to get your kids for communion, you're welcome to do that. When we take communion today, I wanted to talk about a lot of things today. I think I had a four-hour sermon prepared. But I appreciate you guys honoring me and taking that time. That was awesome. I do love all of you and many more than are gathered here today. I love our community, our valley. I just think about the blessings of God over this body, the Life Center. You know, some of our members have been here 40, 50 years. And because they have daily pursued their Lord and Savior, they have daily stayed faithful, they have daily encountered God, even while gutting out life, they said, we're going to serve you, God, no matter what happens. We are riding on what they've created, living lives of righteousness, serving God wholeheartedly, and being faithful year after year after year, day after day after day. And I want you to think about that today as we receive communion. As there's been a group that's went before us that's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believed what He had to offer them. And they've lived out faithfully serving Him. Because they believed that His promises were not only for them, but they're for the generations yet to come. And there's a lot more people in this valley that need to hear that message, that need to know it. That there's a God above who loves them. And they too can experience the joy and the peace of the Lord. I was talking with my guest and he said, what needs do you have at the church? What are some campaigns, some fundraising you're doing? So I started sharing a few things with them and I told him we were just opening up the balcony, getting ready to go with that. And so he looks at me and says, well, get a bid together for what it's going to cost and send it to me. So he's planning to pay for all the seating, the hand railing that goes up there. That's the blessing of God on this body of believers at the Life Center. And if I had another hour, I would tell you a bunch more stories about how we got this property and how we built this building. But God is good. God is in our midst. God works miracles. Our parking lot lights were donated by another guest of mine, which are about $25,000 for those light setups. He said, you know what? I'm just going to order some extra for my job and send them to you. But God has blessed us hundreds of thousands of dollars in the building of this building. God has blessed us time and time again because you, His people, are faithful and serve Him. So daily pursue God and watch His blessing flow in your life. So if you guys want to stand to your feet, we'll say a blessing. Then if you want to come forward and receive communion, you can come down the center aisles and then go back up the walls, please. There's going to be some background music playing. Think of the words of that song, too, as you're standing in line, as you're preparing your heart to receive from the Lord. Just remember, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, said, yes, Lord, I will go. I will be the sacrifice. I will pay their debt so that they too may inherit the kingdom of God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your love. God, we thank you for your heart turned towards us. God, your joy, your excitement, God, as each new believer comes to know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you would use this time today to remember who you are. God, to remember all that's available through accepting you as our Lord and Savior, through serving you. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.